Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere, the immense power of iHeart and podcasting, the global reach of podcasting all over the iHeart Podcast Network. And anywhere you get podcasts, we do thank you for downloading, subscribing to the show. 5 stars. Remember, 5 stars. That helps us out. It seems lame. Why would anyone care about that? But the people that are the overlords of the podcast game, that does matter to them. So I know it's a pain in the ass to do it. Nobody does it. I don't do it. But it's a way to help out the podcast and do it. It's free. It's free to do it. So you can help us out by reviewing the podcast and also just telling people. I've told the story before. I had a guy who I don't even know was a fan of the show in Colorado who recommended our podcast to a woman who I dated years ago who moved to Colorado. And she contacted me out of the blue. That's what I'm looking. Now, obviously, it made me feel good about myself. But more importantly, it's word of mouth advertising. And that's the most effective advertising. So please keep that up. And we are joined, unfortunately, from west of the 405, from David Gascon, who is making his way in here. The man that put narcissism on the map.
Yeah. It's good to be here. It's good to be west of the 405. I wake up every day loud and proud and grateful for that opportunity just to strut my shit west of the 405 while you sulk and bitch and moan over that burned tomahawk east of the 405.
There's no burned tomahawk. The tomahawk is perfectly fine. It's in a climate-controlled environment. You know, I'll make a deal with you. How about this? Right. If the Dodgers win the World Series,
all right,
I'm going to cook the tomahawk. How about that?
Okay, you're going to cook the tomahawk anyway. So
No. If they don't win the World Series, I'm going to wait till one of my teams wins a championship, and then I'm going to have a celebratory tomahawk steak.
Listen, I'm going to make a bet with you or a deal with you. I am never fucking getting you a birthday gift ever again.
No.
Shit.
Well, again, yes, gone. All right. Hey, douche nozzle. Listen, let me explain something, okay? I was planning on making the steak, but you badgered me so much that as an act of punishment for your malfeasance, that's the second podcast in a row I've used the word malfeasance. It's a big word. I'm very proud of myself. I went to Saddleback College. But no, so because every time you complain about it and these nimrods, your little sycophants, there are not many of them from west of the 405, but I'm like, okay, there's another 2 weeks. I'm not going to eat the tomahawk because this guy sent me a message about the tomahawk, so I'm not going
to
eat it.
You're just passing out audio demerits to people?
Yes. Tough love, Gascon. I believe in tough love. It's the Maller way of doing it. That's why I'm critical here. I believe in hard work and tough love.
Right.
That's how I do it.
Well, let's
damn
see if,
right.
Let's see if the Dodgers pull this thing off. I don't
Constructive criticism is how I do things here.
They don't trigger a lot of people. Hopefully it does.
Well, listen, if the Dodgers somehow F this up, okay, if they slide on the banana peel.
Yeah.
Roberts is gone. They got to get rid of Kershaw anyway. I would not keep him or I'd trade him. But wholesale change. Justin Turner's not going to be back. He will definitely not be back if they lose the World Series. Kike Hernandez, bye-bye. Bye-bye. See you later. Go down the list.
Listen, if the Dodgers blow this, I wouldn't mind you putting that tomahawk into your laundry cart and then pushing the laundry cart onto the 405, onto incoming traffic.
Nah, they're going to win. You got to believe. Actually, you don't have to believe. But I am still relatively confident, not knowing what has happened in recent days as we're, you know, this podcast was recorded at another time. But I'm still optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm still optimistic. So, we have the mailbag. This is a mailbag podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to the people, by the people, for the people. These are actual questions sent in by regular fans of the show, submitted via the Facebook page, Ben Maller Show. If you want to send a question in every Wednesday, usually Wednesday in the morning, unless I forget. We post something on Facebook, and then you can send your questions in. And if you don't want everyone to know your question, you can email the question. If you're not on Facebook, like Gascon's not on Facebook, realfifthhour@gmail.com. Realfifthhour@gmail.com.
And you
can send us a message.
Did you have your wife comment on our iTunes page?
Not that I know of. She didn't tell me she did. Why?
If you're a fan of the Ben Maller Show, Fox Sports Radio, weekdays, 2 a.m. to 6, or even if you're not, you'll find these weekend podcasts thoroughly entertaining. Friday editions are generally an interview conversation with someone in entertainment, sports, or communications. Saturday is a mix of conversation, interesting survey studies, and findings. Sunday is mostly listener-submitted questions via the Facebook fan page or email. I highly recommend all these podcasts and thoroughly enjoy listening to Ben power his way through the podcast despite the blatant attempts by his co-host to sabotage almost every episode. And it was titled Marquis Maller. What kind of piece of shit would type that up?
I got it up. That's from Mario. That's the great Mario. Oh. Mario, you get a golden ticket.
You can't give a golden ticket on a podcast.
I just did. I gave the man a golden ticket. That's what we're looking for right there. That is what we're looking for.
What a fucking loser.
We've got to get, how many ratings? We have like 259 ratings or something like that?
Yeah.
All right. Can we get... Oh, this is the ultimate test here, Gascon. Can we get to 300 by the next podcast?
No.
Nope. No chance.
No chance.
Can we get to 270 by the next podcast?
That's a chance, yeah.
That's a doable.
Yeah.
All right. What are the odds that we will get another 11 people to take time out of their lives and spend about a minute reviewing our podcast on the Apple podcast page?
Well, that's high because there are repeat commenters on this.
Okay.
And you even had that little guy from Arizona that spells everything wrong. He comments on here multiple times too. So
you're such a dick. You're such a dick. I like the guy. I think this was probably one of the Cincinnati bros. Might have been Justin or just Josh who. Did you see the name they used there on the review of the Sunday podcast? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
I
did see that. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we're allowed to say that, but that's an inside joke here at one of the people I work with. Someone I work with that might use an alias, or someone I used to work with, or maybe still work with. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a reference. Are you ready for the questions? Are you ready to slice through this?
Yeah, I was just asking if your wife had written that, but now you identify.
No. My wife does not write reviews, which is weird because she does value reviews. Like when we go out, back in the olden days when we were allowed, before the monarchy.
Oh, is she Yelpy?
Oh, this is great. We should try this place, you know? And I'm like, eh. Because I know a lot of that stuff. On it's like their algorithms, and you can pay people for reviews and all that. But well, fortunately, we don't have to worry about that because the monarchy here in California, His Majesty, has not allowed us to go eat at restaurants in most of the big cities. Although in Orange County, it's amazing. I can go to Orange County, and we live in LA, but go down and see my dad and go have a nice meal at a restaurant inside. It's amazing.
Yeah, God forbid,
but
though.
It's not safe here where I live.
No.
All right, Chef Scott from New Orleans. We should go hang out. I don't know what restaurant Chef Scott works at, but we should go hang out. I've heard amazing. I haven't spent any time in New Orleans. I've heard good things. I don't know that I'd like the food there because it's a lot of seafood. But I did like the king cake that Barbara in New Orleans sent. And some of that food looks really good. I've got to be picky on it. But Chef Scott from New Orleans writes in, says, I listened to a lot of Art Bell through the 90s and the 2000s. Even though I was never a big believer in most of that stuff, if the corporate muckety-mucks, Ben, commanded you to do one four-hour weekday show in the style of Art Bell, what would be your topic? Possible guests, and why are you so interested in it? And did your mom like to listen also? And Chef Scott says those ghost-to-ghost Halloween specials were awesome. Yeah, Art Bell is amazing. I got to meet Art one time. He was, I don't know if you know this, a bit of an introvert, and didn't get out much, and a hermit and all that stuff. He lived in Pahrump, Nevada. And so they brought Art in at one of the early days of Fox Sports Radio, which is part of the premier networks. And they had a big, used to have these big Christmas parties in Beverly Hills. It was awesome. And they'd fly in all the big talent around the country that would come in and hang out. And I got to meet Matt Drudge was there. This is back in the Dr. Laura days. Limbaugh, like all the big shots. And it was great. You know, they'd have the main table, but Art was part of that anyway. And so I got to meet him one time. But if I were to do an Art Bell show as an homage to Art, my mom did listen to him. That's one of the reasons I started listening to him. I come from a family of night owls, and so that was part of it. But I used to love when Art would do the stuff about Area 51.
Yeah,
and I always got a kick out of that. And also he would do a lot of shows about, like, cattle being mutilated by, they thought, aliens, you know, those kind of things. And then the chemtrails would be good. But the thing about Art is he would never say, hey, that's bullshit. He would listen to anybody, you know, because it made good radio. It made good radio, and he'd listen to anybody. So, yeah, I was a big fan of Art, but I'd be fun. You know, one of the guys, Steve Mason, who used to work with at Fox, who's a big, you know, afternoon guy at a different station in L.A. now. But Steve Mason got to fill in on Coast to Coast a few times. And that's pretty cool.
You know who would crush with that would be your boy Lee Klein. He would absolutely demolish that.
The Prince of Darkness?
Yeah, I think he'd be really good in that format.
But he would just focus on government conspiracies.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, he would focus on government conspiracies. And then the Chef Scott says, dude, eat the frozen tomahawk soon. I'm actually starting to have a smidge of sympathy for Gagon. I used to charge $175 for a 42-ounce tomahawk, he says at his restaurant. Very popular. I guess he works at a casino steakhouse. Well, that sounds pretty good.
No, is that on the water, though?
What's that?
Well, the casino.
I don't know. He didn't say exactly where he works, but that's what he implied. And he said he dropped a name here, which is kind of west of the 405-ish. He said that he prepared, I think he said here, if I'm reading this right, the tomahawk steak for Adrian Peterson while he was suspended from the NFL. He came into his restaurant in New Orleans with a group, and they made the tomahawk steak.
Did he hit it with a switch?
Yeah.
Did he sear it with a switch?
That's how they tenderized it. Yes, they tenderized it with a switch. Adrian from DTC. Where is DTC? Do you know what that is? I don't know what that is. Is that downtown Denver? No, it's not downtown Denver.
Downtown Columbus, I don't know.
Okay, he says, anyway, wherever that is, we don't know. I think he's in Denver. He says, or near Denver, I've been trying out intermittent fasting for a week or so and need your expert advice. Well, you've come to the right place, Adrian. I'm curious to know, the email continues, what you are eating when you are breaking the fast. I'm struggling with sweets and junk food. How strict are you with sweets and junk food when you are not fasting?
Not strict at all.
No, I'm not. And you don't need to be. That's the cool thing. Now, obviously, there's dietary reasons you need to keep track of some of that stuff. But I fast so much. I've worked up my resistance to fasting that it's more about the time of it, where I'll go 65 hours without eating, which you should not do. You should never take advice on fasting from a podcaster or overnight radio guy. But I've worked myself up to the point. But then when I end the fast, I'll eat pretty much whatever I want, but I'll only do it within 1 hour. And you can't really eat that much in 1 hour because your appetite, well, you think you're really hungry, you fill up pretty quick. I've noticed that. And then I've also noticed because of the gallbladder, after I fast for a long time, whatever I eat immediately comes out the other end pretty quick. So it works that way as well. But I would recommend for somebody starting fasting, 13 hours is a good way to start, and then work your way up to 16 hours. And I use 16 hours as my baseline, but I usually end up fasting, Adrian, I try to get, even on the days I don't do a long fast, I try to get like 22 to 23 hours of fasting in, and then I'll eat for an hour, and then I'll start the clock again. But I've got some neurosis. I have a lot of neurosis when it comes to my being a fat guy my entire life and all that stuff. It's messed me up a little bit.
How about you like kind of ease your way into eating by having fruit? Like, that's the easiest way to do it. Like, watermelon, strawberries, apples, grapes. Like, something that...
You know, the weird thing that I've noticed about with the combination of the gallbladder and the fasting, there's this phenomenon that's happened the last, like, month or so. So, I try to do one 60-plus hour fast a week.
Yes, I know.
It's my Michigas, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you shouldn't do that. But I do it once a week. I go 60. I usually, from Saturday night to, like, Tuesday, I won't eat. Mm-hmm. Normally. And Gascon knows that because he'll send me food porn pictures. The dick that he is. Anyway, but I have noticed now, like, when I get to about the 60-hour mark and I'm winding down my fast, but I've still got a few hours left, and I'll go for my walk, my hiking around, urban hiking. If I drink water, even water will trigger a reaction. Like, a lot of water will trigger me having to run, make a run. I'll have the Tennessee trots and have to go and go to the bathroom right away. It's weird.
What if you increase the tempo on how you walk? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it don't really even have to walk. I think it's just when you drink a lot of water after you've been fasting for that, for whatever reason, for when you fast for that long, it happens that way. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. Start 13 hours. And the key, when you're forming a habit, and I've said this many times, but it bears repeating here, when you talk about habits and how long it takes to have a habit, and there have been studies on this, to get something part of your routine, to create a habit, you have to do something for, I think the number is like 66 days or something like that. And then it becomes ingrained and it's like automatic, right? I mean, it's almost automatic at that point. But there's a magic number to form a habit. And I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember exactly the time. I think it was like 66 days or something like that.
There's a good cheat code for him, though. If you can not eat 4 hours before you sleep and then max out on sleep before you have to wake up. Like, let's say you get 8 hours of sleep and you fast 4 hours before you go to bed. That's 12 right there. So then
exactly.
I mean, that's 4 hours. You're at 16.
Yeah. Now, it becomes a little more problematic for people like myself who sleep about 4 hours a night. That's a little difficult.
Yeah.
So I can't do that, guess. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't
quite work for me, so unfortunately. But yeah, forming habits, that's the key. In anything, like people make bad habits, but if you can make good habits, or at least things we think are good habits, then that's the way to go. Right. What is a good habit, by the way? Do you even know what a good habit is? I mean, everything's in moderation, I guess. And don't they say that? But 66 days is the number. I looked it up here.
You had a good habit of leaving the studio and walking around the block every second.
I did. Yeah. I did do it, yeah. I would time out how long the commercials were, and I would walk around the building. And I did that for many years. And I was friends with all the homeless people in Sherman Oaks around the iHeart Media building there, the Premier Networks building. I knew them. And yeah, it's weird. Sherman Oaks, there's so much money in that part of L.A., but if the people only knew what it was like in the middle of the night, I feel bad for people that are down in their luck, but people coming out of the woodwork, and this is like a very expensive neighborhood in L.A., a lot of the rich people, you know, live up in the hills right above there and come down and shop in those stores and go to the restaurants, and it's like, woo-wee, man. Adrian also says, I want to comment on Dave Logan. Yet again, have you reached out to Dave Logan, Gascon? Everyone wants Dave Logan on the podcast.
I have not.
He says, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Dave Logan is the last collegiate athlete to participate in at least three sports year-round while attending college. Well, there's a question right there. We could ask Dave Logan if that's true or not. Try to get him on. See if we can get him on next week.
All right.
Reach out to him. All right. Will in Illinois writes in, says, it's your biggest fan. That's right. This is the fattest fan of the show, the great Will. And he says, checking in on the Bob Page update. And he sent me an email here. Will says, I reached out to Bob on Twitter, and he seems to have changed his opinion of you. In fact, he would love to be a guest on the podcast. See attached for the exchange, and I am looking at the screenshots here, and Bob was very nice. I wonder what happened. Bob was a dick before, but now he's being nice. He says, I used to work with Ben. Nice man. Why would he want me on his podcast? And then he said he would happily go on the podcast. Well, that's nice. Yeah, I have nothing against Bob. I love Bob's got some great stories. Bob, as we've said before, he replaced Howard Cosell on Howard Cosell's radio show, Speaking of Sport. Hmm. And he threw some haymakers on television in New York. He was on MSG taking shots at the Knicks. And they actually had good teams when he was at MSG. They weren't terrible like they've been ever since. But, yeah, I don't know that we want to have Bob on the podcast. But it's nice that he's nice. And I've, you know, now that he's made up with me, I'm good. You know, we're good. Dave in Mill Valley, California says, Ben, was your wife a chubby chaser, or did you meet after you lost the tonnage? I was losing the weight still. I was not the big fatty that I had been, but I wasn't completely the rail that I briefly became. So I was in the middle. But I don't think she's a chubby chaser. Kevin in, you'd have to ask her that. Kevin in Rumford, Maine writes in, says, would you rather be facing the cheating Astros and wipe them out, or who cares just win? Yeah, I don't really care, Kevin. I don't care. No one's going to remember who they beat in the World Series. They're just going to remember they won the World Series. That's it. You know, years from now, you remember, they won the World Series in 2000. It's like who they played is really irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Now, J-Dot in Utah says, do you ever wonder what your callers ever look like? I'd imagine because of social media, it's a whole lot easier to find out. Somewhat, J-Dot. Although a lot of people hide with, as Sports Talk Barry would say, fake avies, the avatars. They use the different things. So I've been pretty lucky in that, or unlucky, that I've, the people I'm curious what they look like the most, I was able to see. The one I didn't, there's a couple that I haven't, obviously. I have no idea what the late, great Jimmy Ray from Tampa Bay looked like. Troy the Gambling Man in Nashville. Boardwalk Bob, his famous shenanigans calling the show in the early days. Motor City Mike. But like Pete in Pittsburgh, I met him. There's a photo of me with Pete and the bread man at Primanti Brothers in Pittsburgh. But then when we took the photo, Pete put a paper bag on his head. But I saw him before that. And then you go down the list, man. I don't know what Real Talk looked like. That's one I'm wondering. I'm curious, like, what Real Talk. The people have had different theories on Real Talk. What exactly he looks like? If this is all an act? If he's actually like a totally different than his portrayal? He's playing a character. I don't know. But I knew what Genie looked like. I saw photos of Genie. I've seen photos of most of the regular people, you know, not Mark the full name guy because he puts his photo up from like the 1970s. I've seen that. Lance the bus driver. I'm trying to think. Yeah. So to answer your question, J-Dot, I've seen most of the people that I was most curious about. Kyle from San Antonio says, is this the year that Clayton Kershaw finally overcomes his need for the Heimlich maneuver in the playoffs? He did look great in game one, but yeah. Yeah, Kyle, I'm not there yet. And there's two ways to look at this. This is setting up for a Disney-esque Clayton Kershaw World Series where the Dodgers come back and he, you know, pitches game five. They win the whole thing. It's also setting up for Clayton Kershaw goes out and pukes all over the mound in game five and Fs the thing up. So we'll find out. Pierre, better known by his gangster name, Alf, the alien opiner from Springfield, writes in. Now, Pierre, which Springfield are you in? There's like 7,000 different Springfields. Anyway, Pierre says, Ben, have you given any thought to re-gifting that tomahawk steak to that vagrant in Miami? I'm sure Gagon would be more than happy to know that you were helping out the downtrodden. Would you be okay with that, Gascon, if I overnighted the tomahawk steak to Weed Man Hippie in Miami?
You could do
You'd be cool with that. Right?
You could do it to Marlins, man. It's fine.
Oh, because he's got money. What? I see what you did. Do you know what I should tell us? Because this is for the P1s. The Sunday podcast is for like the top 1% of the P1s.
Yeah.
It really is. So, Weedman called the show begging for money yet again this week, right? He was like, oh, I need help. I have no food. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I felt bad. He's begging me, send me money. I'm like, I'm not sending you money. So, I gave him a buzz after the call on the air. Like, I called him up off the air. And I was like, hey, Weedman, let me help you out. Send me money. You know, he starts screaming at me. I said, well, what about Lisa? She would send him money. Said, no, Lisa's not working. She's a trainer, and there's no gyms are open, so there's no money from Lisa. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do you a solid, okay? Give me your zip code. So Weedman gives me a zip code. Then he starts complaining about the neighborhood he lives in, which is like the worst part of Miami, and there's people getting shot all the time, and he's like complaining, you know, the whole thing. So I'm like, all right, let me type the zip code in. So I type the zip code in, and then I find all these food pantries, you know, for people that are down in the luck and people that are, you know, homeless or whatever. So I'm like, oh, listen, there are literally like 80 of these places around that part of Miami. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading off the addresses. That's too far. I can't make it there. No. I tried the Salvation Army. You got to be in some program. I don't want to be in a program. They're not. No. Yeah. Every single one. I didn't read all 80 of them because I hung up on them. But he kept saying, no, too far. Not going to make it. No, don't want to go there. Tried them. No, I'm like, oh, my God. Here I am thinking I'm going to help the guy out, and he's a total dick and just slaps me around. Say, there you go. No good deed goes unpunished.
That's right.
No good deed goes unpunished. Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia says, hey, guys, I know you both like documentaries. I assume you like based on true story movies, too. Have you watched The Founder on Netflix? If so, what did you think? Yes. In fact, I actually saw The Founder. I'm one of the few people that saw it in the movie theater. Have you seen The Founder? It's the one that Tom Hanks plays, the McDonald's, the Kroc guy, Ray Kroc.
No, I have not. Is it good?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, the story of McDonald's. And I like those kind of movies. I did enjoy it. The McDonald's brothers and how they sold out. And they sold themselves short and, you know, McDonald's becoming this major conglomerate. And some of the things that they came up with that are still used today in the food industry. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw parts of it when Michael Keaton, I think, was talking about owning.
Oh, was it Michael Keaton? What did I say? Did I say Tom Hanks?
You did.
I don't know. That's right. That's a bad job by me.
It's all good. But I think
Tom Hanks and Michael Keaton are the same, aren't they?
No, one of them's Bruce Wayne and Batman. The other one's not.
Both white guys. They all look the same.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Just triggered
that out. You're triggered?
Yes.
You need a safe space? You need a,
I need a
warm
bubble.
Glass of milk and a blankie? No?
I need to go up to Cal Berkeley and hang out.
Vols fan Jimmy writes in. He says, he's from Fayetteville, Tennessee. He says, Ben, have you ever put up a fair poll on the overnight show? Yes. Yes. Every one I do is a fair and balanced poll. I don't know what you're talking about. Richard in Floresville, Texas says, Ben and Gascon, favorite gambling movie of all time. Mine is Let It Ride with Richard Dreyfuss.
I think my favorite gambling movie, it's got to be Rounders. I love Rounders. Rounders with Matt Damon.
Now, there's a lot of gambling movies that are in the fringes that are about gambling, but not specifically about gambling, like Ocean's 11. It's like a bank heist movie, but it's about, I liked Ocean's 11. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does The Hangover count?
Because
they're gambling. No, it doesn't count, but they're in Vegas, though. That doesn't count. They're in Vegas. They're the bachelor party, the whole thing. You know?
No.
All right.
Anything else, or is it Ocean's
11? What
about? I mean, Ocean's 11 could be that.
Yeah, I think Ocean's 11. I'll go that.
21's a good movie, too. 21's based off that that book that was written, Bringing Down the House, when those MIT kids went to Vegas and they started counting cards and going like almost every other week to Sin City and basically fucking crushing Vegas.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. I should watch that. What's the name of that? I gotta watch that again. I've watched
it. It's called 21.
Maybe I'll watch that. Is that on Netflix or something?
Probably, yeah.
That's a good movie to watch this weekend. Yeah. Although I just got my wife on Amazon Prime Day, she bought a subscription to PBS.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's like the gold mine for documentary. I'm finally watching the country music documentary that I wanted to watch a couple of years ago, or last year, I guess it came out. That's really good.
You got to be careful, though, because PBS, they take some of their content off like after a short period of time. So even the ones that you pay for with the subscription, they'll remove.
Well, so far, so good. I've been watching it. I mean, it's like 16 hours, so it's going to take me probably the rest of the year to get through it.
Oh,
but it's good because I don't mind. You know, I'm not a huge country music fan. I don't like the new. I like the older country music, but
yeah,
it's great because the early days of country music, you know, hillbillies and the odeling and all that, but yeah. Radio, it's tied into the radio business, and these country music stars were hired by radio stations, and they would perform at night, you know, like once a week on Saturday night, they'd have a performance, and it was very interesting learning about the early days of both radio and how country music were tied together, intertwined. And they created these big stars, and it was so funny because they did a thing on Gene Autry. And when I was younger, Gene Autry owned the Angels, and when I was an autograph hound, I used to get Autry's autograph. But I didn't really have the context of how famous Gene Autry had been at one point in America, the singing cowboy, and how big a deal he was at one point. You know, Roy Rogers and Autry and those country guys in the beginning. I didn't realize it when I was, you know, when he was alive. He died in the 90s, but. Pretty crazy. Let's see here. Chris in Maquoketa, Iowa, writes in. Now, Chris sent us something we talked about on the Benny versus the Penny. We won't get to that here. Chris says, a lot of conspiracy talk on the show lately. So what's your take on JFK Grassy Knoll shooter conspiracy? And if you have time, that 9/11 was done by our own government. Yeah, I'm not buying the 9/11 government story. Although, was it Building 7? That's a little fishy to me. Was it Building 7? Is that the one where, you know, it was down the street from the World Trade Center and that collapsed hours later?
Is that what it was?
I think it was called Building 7, if I remember correctly. That one's a little fishy to me. I don't know what happened with that, but the JFK thing, when I first got into the radio business, and that would be the topic of conversation still around the dinner table was, you know, JFK, you know, and what happened, you know. I don't know. I've heard different theories on that. I have a feeling that it's a little more complicated than the story that we've been fed. But, you know, I've heard the two-shooter thing. There's more people that were involved. It was a CIA hit job. I don't know about all that, but...
Yeah, the
something more that's not. I don't think we're getting the whole. We're getting a version of the truth, but not the whole truth.
Yeah, I hear that stuff on the Pentagon too on 9/11.
Oh, what about that? Well, there's video of the plane hitting the Pentagon, though.
I know. Yeah.
How could there not? I mean, did they doctor the video?
I don't know.
Travis in Roseburg, Oregon, writes and says, "Ben, we're about the same age. Sometimes I hear a bit of Tom Likas in your delivery. Was he one of your influences?" I did listen to Likas. I thought Likas was a very good talk show host. I did listen to him from time to time. I was not like an everyday listener, but I would listen to him if I was in the car and he was on. And he says, you should revive Flash Friday. He says the Malheur Militia is the perfect demographic for that. And the problem is we're on at night, and most of the people that listen are either at work. Well, we have truck drivers, but there's, you know, I don't think it really works if truck drivers flash each other on Flash Friday. I don't think that would... But Likas was great, and I had a buddy of mine that was an engineer for Likas and told me that Likas hated sports radio because he lost a job because the station he worked at changed formats to sports, and they whacked him. And from that point forward, that's what I was told. I don't know if that's true or not, but the guy told me that's why one of the reasons Likas hated sports radio, because he lost a gig to it. But yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, compelling, entertaining, all the things, the ingredients you're supposed to be as a talk show, so sure. But I don't know. Influence, yeah. Jim Healy, I think, you know, Hacksaw, Jim Healy, a little bit of Likas, Paul Harvey, good day. Some of the people on radio that, Art Bell, some of the people that influenced me, Howard Stern, people like that. Did you ever listen to Likas?
I've only listened to him a handful of times. I was mostly like listening to Romy when I was growing up.
explains a lot. Kevin from Rockford, Illinois says, Mr. Maller, first of all, thank you for calling Mr. Maller. Kevin, old. Very classy.
Very old.
He says, other than you, are there really good people west of the 405? He says, I was in California on vacation last year. I drove from San Francisco to Palm Springs. Everyone I met on our road trip was a stuck-up David Gascon wannabe. Well, no matter west or east of the 405, you're still in California. As pretty as the state is, the people suck.
Well, that's what happens. Except you go to Kevin. San Francisco, and he probably never... Well, if you're going from Palm Springs or... Excuse me, San Francisco
to Palm Springs.
To Palm Springs. You never came close to the 405 freeway. Like, not once. So don't try to front and be fucking friends with Ben. It's all horse shit.
All right, that is true. The 405 freeway, Kevin, only goes from the San Fernando Valley, and it ends in just past Irvine.
Tustin, yeah.
It's past Irvine at the merge with the 5 and the 405. It merges back with the 5 freeway. And I used to live right near the southern part of the 405, but I grew up, thank God, near the 5 freeway in Irvine, where it goes. There's a 405 part where the Gascon a-holes live, and then on the other part is the 5 where the commoners live. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the 405s in that part is not a very long stretch, but all the a-holes live west of the 405 in California. But yeah, there's a lot of dicks in California. I agree with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's not a lot of a-holes. It's crazy. You go somewhere, you go to other parts of the country, people are like, nice, how you doing? What's going on? They smile, you know, the whole thing. Here, it's become a lot like New York. You know, the cliche of New York where everyone's, you know, worried about themselves and their a-holes and, yeah.
It's tough. Even hot women get, like, they just fucking scowl at you if you...
Well, hot women always scowl at you.
No, that's not true.
That's that was true. When you're fat, when I was fat, they scowl at you.
Well, because you're sweating.
So, you're below me. Don't look at me. You're not even worthy of a look. Get out of here, you peasant.
I don't know.
You fat peasant.
Women in the South love fat, man.
I should have been in the South then. Right?
Maybe.
Would have done well.
What are we talking about? You're married.
Well, I'm saying when I was younger, though.
Yeah.
Could have taken a radio job in Atlanta or something. That would have been great.
Yeah.
All right. Charlie in Memphis, Tennessee says, a member of and CEO of the Gascon Group LTD. When will you apologize to David for ruining an expensive steak? I have not ruined an expensive steak.
Yes,
Charlie.
You have. You've ruined it.
Is this one of your burner accounts, Charlie in Memphis, Gascon? Are you pretending to be him?
No. That'd be a great city to go visit, though.
Memphis, Tennessee. Have a little Memphis barbecue. Go to Beale Street. Hang out in Memphis. No?
Have you heard about their barbecue compared to Texas and Kansas City?
Well, everyone's got their favorite. I'm a fan of Kansas City barbecue.
Yeah, me too.
That's my favorite. And I love the Z-Man sandwich at KC Joe's, formerly Oklahoma Joe's. It's the greatest sandwich I've ever had. But I've not had a lot of... I've heard bad things about Carolina barbecue. Have you ever had Carolina barbecue?
No.
I've heard it's not good. I've heard it's the worst of the big barbecue. But I'd love to go on a barbecue tour, and it'd be a lot of fun.
If I had the time
to go around to Texas and Memphis and Kansas City, and there's Tennessee barbecue. Yeah. No, that'd be fun, yeah.
Especially because you can go ribs, briskets, like anything, obviously. You don't have to go with one... One thing,
chicken.
One thing only, yeah. Chicken, barbecue chicken. Yeah, you could hunt all 9 yards.
Exactly. Let's see. Dave in Mesa, Arizona writes in. I got family in that area. He says, I do like your show. What's that?
I was going to say just southeast of Scottsdale.
I got to go to Arizona to hang out with I don't think anyone wants to hang out with me now because of the corona, but... I need to see them. Dave in Mesa, Arizona says, I do like your show, listening for years and years. Thank you, Dave. I think you should forgive the Houston Astros or face the fact that the Rams cheated by a horrible no-call to get into the big game. And worse yet, deny New Orleans their rightful spot. So homer of you do not to admit it. Again, Dave. You're just a troll. I'm glad that you like the show, but you're a troll. You clearly have forgotten that bad calls happen in games. They go against you sometimes. They go for you sometimes. Those things even out. And they did even out for the New Orleans Saints. They had the ball first in overtime. They had the Hall of Fame quarterback. All you have to do is go down, drive the ball down, get a touchdown, you win the game. Drive the down, game ball down, get a field goal, get a stop, you win the game. Do you remember what happened? I remember what happened. In overtime, Saints got possession of the ball first. They drove down, and around midfield, Drew Brees threw an interception. Rams picked it off. I don't even think they got a first down, and they kicked Greg Zuerlein kicked a long field goal, game, set, and match. That's on Drew Brees. That's on the Saints. Instead, they're blaming the referees. It's embarrassing. And how pathetic. You think about Drew Brees, who's a Hall of Famer and all-time great. He has lost home playoff games to Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff. Think about that for a second. Let that marinate in your head. Carlos in Houston writes and says, I heard the podcast when you cursed on the air. Now when the Dodgers choke again, will you be cursing again? That was awesome. Well, Carlos, bang, bang. How about your a-holes? How about their a-holes there, Carlos? How are they doing? How are they doing in the World Series, Gascon? How are the Astros doing? Do we have an update?
TBD. TBD.
Yeah, that's good. All right, we'll do a couple more here.
I'm just thankful they did not get in. Fuck, 29-31, and all of a sudden they get their way into the World Series.
It's a joke. It's pathetic. And I hope someday to tell the story I have to tell about the Astros. I believe the statute of limitations has not run out yet, Gascon, but at some point I will be able to tell the story.
Yeah, how long are you going to give that thing to breathe?
Oh, I have to give it a while. I have to give it a while. I might need a new person in power before I'm able to do it. Mm. Not at our place, but they're you know. Anyway, Russ in Evansville, Indiana writes in, says, more delusional fan base on being relevant in college sports, Tennessee or Nebraska in football or Indiana in basketball. All right, so this one to me is easy. And just based on my interactions with callers on the radio show, not that we talk much college athletic competition. We don't. We're mostly a pro sports show. We don't do a lot of college. If there's a big college football championship game, we'll talk about that. If there's a big scandal involving Nick Saban, we'll talk about that. But generally, we avoid that. So anyway, the answer is Tennessee.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Volunteer fan, God love them. They are convinced they are on the come every year that this is going to be their year, and whoever they hire, their new coach, is going to be great. They have not been relevant since what, the late 90s?
Yeah, T. Martin and company. Peerless yeah. Price was there as well.
How great is it that Peyton Manning was there and the greatest thing in the world, and they didn't win shit with Peyton Manning. And T. Martin comes in there, system quarterback. They win the national championship. It's great. That's the equivalent of the Washington Nationals having Bryce Harper, getting rid of Bryce Harper in free agency, and then winning the World Series the very next year. It's the same concept. It's the same thing is what it is.
Walked right into that.
Yes, you did. That's right. No, but Tennessee fans. Remember we used to have, what was the guy's name from Nashville? Danny from Nashville, I think it was. And, oh, my God, he was so, every coach, you know, and I say every coach, they went through a lot of coaches in a short amount of time, but he would buy every rumor. Oh, John Gruden was spotted at a barbecue restaurant in Knoxville. He's going to be the coach of Tennessee, you know, and I was like, okay. Total bullshit story, but he went with it. But like, and I remember when they hired Jeremy Pruitt, the guy that's currently coaching. Yeah. I think he's still a coach, right, at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt, and they're like, oh my God, this guy is great. He's on the Nick Saban coaching tree. Oh, what a great hire! This guy's going to turn this program around. You just wait and see. And they always put the caveat on there: give it a couple of years. Give it a couple of years, and they're going to be great. Oh, my God. You know, that whole thing. And then you're like, okay, let's see. Now, Jeremy Pruitt, he's been there. This is his third year as the volunteer coach. So that means you've had multiple recruiting classes. You've got your players. And Tennessee has played 29 games with Jeremy Pruitt as the coach. They are 15-14. 15-14. And they were ranked in the preseason top 25 this year. They got as high as 14. They're 2-2, the Volunteers. But that fan base, that takes the cake for me, Russ. I know you might want me to say Indiana basketball because you're from Evansville, Indiana, but I'm going with Tennessee football by a country mile. All right, last question, Gascon. Are you ready for the last question?
Yes, sir.
All right, it says, Ben, do you listen to the college marching bands in your spare time? Here's a word. This is Chris in Edmonton, Alberta. And if you like the bands at least, what are some of your favorite melodies?
Home of the Oilers, by the way.
That's right. Good knowledge there. You know what I like is the drum major. That is great, and I'm not a big band guy. I like music, but I'm not really a music person, which means I don't really know what I'm listening to. I like what I like, and I like what I like, and that's it. But the college bands are just amazing. Like the Ohio State band, Dotting the I. The USC marching band, actually pretty impressive. I used to go to those USC games back in the day.
Well, the cool thing
is Men of Troy.
The USC marching band will go to like parties or weddings. Like, they go everywhere. It's not just, obviously, on campus for USC football.
It's pretty impressive when you see the band marching around, you know, and you're outside the stadium and the band's marching through. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. But do I have a favorite melody? I don't have one, Chris. I'm sorry, but I'm impressed that the formations they make, there's a lot of choreography that goes in that when they spell out. It seems easy, but to actually get 300 or 200 people in a band to be in the right spot, it's not that easy.
And play the right note, too.
Yeah, exactly. We can't even walk and chew gum at the same time, right? I mean, come on, please.
Yeah, that's true.
Cannot do it. Cannot do it.
No.
Not going to do it. All right, so we'll put the baby to bed. Yes, Gascon, anything else you want to do here?
We're good. Benny versus the Penny. If you have not watched it, watch it.
That is right. Thanks to our guy. If you did not hear Friday's podcast, if you didn't stumble on Seth Dillon, very good. CEO Babylon Bee, Gascon's wet dream come true. It was orgasmic for Gascon. And then we thank him for his time. He was very nice, Seth. And then also on the Saturday podcast, we thank the Arizona Republic for doing a full column, 1,000-word story on me and my quotes about Kyler Murray and making Alligator Arms Murray the official nickname of Kyler Murray, putting it in the newspaper. So we thank you for that. Have a great day today. Enjoy the football. And we'll be back on the radio Sunday night into Monday morning. And as long as you guys keep downloading this Sunday podcast, we'll keep it up. The numbers have been good. We thank you for that. Have a great day. We'll catch you next time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.